Hello, you are listening to the Nintendo Switch UK podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Nintendo Switch UK podcast. It's episode 107 and we have Anton back. But before we go to Anton, because I know Al will feel that I've ruined the equilibrium of this event, I'll start with Al. How are you, Al?
I'm fine. My waters are in alignment, Mike. Thank you very much for taking my feelings into consideration. I feel loved and appreciated.
Good. And Anton, yourself, are you well?
I am well. I'm so happy to be back. There's so much stuff that was happening last week, which I sadly missed and couldn't give my hot takes on, but we've got some more exciting stuff this week. So, excited to be back.
Now, let's start before we get into the news, of which we have slightly less maybe than some weeks, but that's okay. We like it sometimes when it is a slightly quieter week, because we can talk a bit more in detail about stuff too. But we're going to start with the stuff we've been playing this week. Al, what have you had a chance to play this week, if anything?
I have still been playing Stardew. At some point, I'm going to have to put Stardew down and go play something else, but I'm still enjoying it. I don't know. I've got through quite a lot of the initial bits of the story that are kind of dropped and teased to begin with. Like, that's what that was about. Oh, that's what that was about. But I'm intrigued to see where else this is going to go. My farm is getting bigger and making more and more cash. I'm feeling good in the game. But at some point, I need to go and find something else to play, because if nothing else, it's getting boring every week saying, I've just been playing Stardew.
Yeah, but well, it's not boring, because Stardew is that kind of game that takes a while. You know, it's not a very, very quick game. Otherwise, you're doing it wrong. So no, that's fine. Anton, what about you?
Oh, I've actually been playing a little bit more Switch this last wee bit. Thankfully, I picked up and started playing Mini Motorways. Admittedly, not on the Switch. Coming to the Switch very soon, which is quite exciting. Kind of successor to Mini, I believe, Trains or. Something mini. Anyway, really fantastic. A lot more complex and intricate in the original base game. But what I have been playing on the Switch. Sorry, Aster?
What is it? What kind of game is this, Mini Motorways?
Mini Motorways is like a top-down game. You basically get all these buildings, factories, and kind of different kinds of buildings open up. You have to connect them all up, and then you make basically a network of roads and transport. You kind of have to balance the needs and try and make sure everybody gets to where they need to do without too much faff. It's a very simple game. I've literally just been playing it on an iPad, so it will run effortlessly on the Nintendo Switch, and it's a very zen, calm, chill style game. On top of that, I've also picked up and started playing Catherine Full Body.
Oh, nice.
On Nintendo Switch, which is a kind of part puzzle game, part love sim, part you're just hanging out in a pub with your friends. That's the best part of the game, just hanging out with your bros in a pub, and then the puzzle element's really good. The love sim bits, I'm about an hour in with this Full Body reincarnation. They've added a fourth character to the love triangle, making a love square. I question their inclusion, as they seem to kind of, as how they've been written, it seems a little bit leaning into the fact of the kind of Born Beautiful Yesterday trope, which can be seen in stuff like The Fifth Element, where it's just a blissfully unaware character which has some weird tones to it. But I must say, their inclusion does feel really natural. I feel like if you hadn't played the original game, they would feel as part of this one. But
cool.
Overall, as a port, really good, and they've made it a lot easier.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, because I played, I think, on PS Plus back in the day, Catherine, and I quite enjoyed it. I never finished it, so I actually was considering this. And is the port solid, Anton?
Yeah, it runs fantastic. It really feels like it was designed for the Nintendo Switch. It really feels well done and native. They've added a lot more difficulty modes now, so they have, you know, if one mode where you can literally just go through the story and there's no puzzling or anything like that, and you can't physically die. They have one mode that I'm on where you can undo a couple steps, because that was one of the critiques, that it was brutally hard originally. But yeah, I would highly recommend it. I think I picked it up for £25 on Amazon. It even has a manual on the Nintendo Switch, which that's worth the price of admission.
That's fantastic. I do love a physical manual. So I've had a week. I haven't played a huge amount. I have played bits and pieces here and there, though. I played a little bit of online stuff, like Rocket League. I played a bit more, which I haven't played a lot of Rocket League recently, but got back into that in a my usual got highly addicted very quickly way. But also I've started playing Agent A, which is a game which I picked up for about £1. Agent A, a puzzle in disguise, gets really good reviews. It is on things like mobile, I believe, and other platforms. But it's really well done, and it's a nice little puzzle game. It's about 3-4 hours long, which is nice. So I'm going to fire through that because I'm really liking that. I've played a bit more of Batman as well, the second Telltale Batman as well, which is very good. And yeah, I've got several games sitting. It's just it has been a particularly busy couple of weeks, so I'm just sort of playing where I can find time. But the Agent A puzzle game, I'm going to finish that. Plus, I have a review coming, a game I've been playing which I haven't talked about yet, which I'll do this week. But I think can we talk about?
I think you can talk about it. Yeah, we're past the embargo date. Talk away,
okay. I'm just trying to remember the full official title of it now, though, because it was Monster World 4, I think, originally. And it's now called Asha. Oh, I'm going to have to check this to be sure, because Asha, Wonder Boy, Asha in Monster World. So it was originally Monster World 4.
Wow, Mike, tongue tied. That doesn't often happen.
To be honest, it's the naming of it is confusing because it is a remake of Monster World 4, which is confusing in itself. But I have to say, overall, it's a good experience. I think. And we're going into more detail in the review itself. I'll give you the pros and cons very quickly. The pros are if you like those games, those kind of Wonder Boy, Monster World type games, then it's very true to that. It's the recreation of it graphically is fantastic. It looks really, really slick. It's a lovely looking game. Other positives are it plays really well. It's a really nice sort of platformy kind of game, but there's some nice little elements in it. You've got a little assistant, which I'll talk about in the review, who helps you do lots of things, which is a nice little mechanic. I really like that. I think it's a lovely, vibrant world. The colors are fantastic. You want to play it. You want to keep playing it. It doesn't feel like a game that you want to kind of put down once you start because it kind of flows really well. So some real positives, and I'll talk a bit more about some of the positives as well. But some of the negatives, a couple of frame rate issues I've noticed. I haven't seen this picked up hugely, but just a bit of slowdown and a bit of kind of like, ooh, especially in some of the indoor kind of, see, where there's sort of more kind of going on in the screen. It seems to just kind of be a little sort of, you know.
Oh, on a fairly simple platformer. That's surprising.
Yeah, well, it's when I say that, it's not to the point where it's making it unplayable or anything like that. It's just slightly frustrating. It's like, oh, come on. You can see that it's slowing down slightly, but just a minuscule amount. Other negatives, and this is a really big one, it doesn't have an autosave, and I found it the hard way. So please continue to save constantly if you play it, because otherwise you're just going to end up in the same boat as me and having to repeat like 2 hours worth of gaming. And that to me is a quality of life thing that they should have included. I really think that's an oversight, because it's the kind of game that you are probably going to die even on easy. It's still, you know, it's still got its moments. So that's frustrating. So I didn't like that. The other negative I would say is that you sort of have this hub world that you're in between playing your levels. And it's beautiful. It's really well done. I really do love the recreation of it. I love the characters, but it's a little confusing because they haven't kind of upgraded it from that original, you know, early 90s kind of vibe where they don't tell you anything. So you don't really know where you're going, and you don't know what you're doing to get to the next stage. And it doesn't say, here's the next level. You have to go and find where you go to get to it. So it's a little disorientating. And I thought it was just me. And then I realized that no, lots of people were having the same issues. So that's frustrating. I had to actually get a guide not to play the game, because I could play the game, just to know where the heck to get to the next level. I couldn't find it. I didn't know what to do. And it was something I had to go to one person to ask for them to get something, to go to the next person to get to the next level. So it's things like that. It's just quality of life stuff that I think they could have upgraded. The package itself, though, it is a really nice, as I say, a really nice package, and it's a lovely game to play. I personally wouldn't buy it full price, but if it was sub £15, yeah, 100%, I would be there. It's a good title, and I'll be giving it a full review at some point this week with some nice visuals, and we'll get that all up on the old YouTube at some point.
Hey Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM, then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favourite podcast platforms now.
Very exciting. And if you want to check out that review and anything else we get up to, do make sure to check us out on Twitter, NSUK Podcast, and we'll let you know when that's all rolling out. Because, really excited to get the full review grown up with the franchise. It's kind of bizarre that we're getting so much effort and time being put into these newest entries.
Well, the one thing, just as a final thing on it, that disappointed me is that they didn't have the original mode. You can't switch to original graphic mode. It's only the new version. There isn't, like, and I think it's Wonder Boy, I think that does have the original mode and the recreated graphics. This doesn't have the original mode. It's just recreated, and it is brilliantly recreated. I think it really works, but I just think that's an addition that they could have put in there. So there we are.
It's surprising. For some reason I actually thought it did have that, but yeah, that's
so did I.
That is sad. Oh, well, cool. Well, so mixed review, but generally mostly positive because you said you would buy it at a price.
I would, yes. And I'll give you my final score in the review as well, so you have to check that out. But 2.9 gig is the game file size, by the way, in case you are thinking about downloading it and you've got limited space. Okay, I think we should move on to the news.
Tell us that people want to know.
Now, this is quite exciting. Alistair, the LEGO Group have announced LEGO Builder's Journey for the Nintendo Switch. It's a simple isometric puzzle game. It's coming out on the 22nd of June. Of course, we've had a few LEGO announcements going on just for various different things. But what's your feelings on this, Al? Because I know you can sometimes be a bit kind of like, but this... Ooh,
oh my gosh, Mike, this looks it is so gorgeous. I have never seen a puzzle game that looks this beautiful. This is what all 3D games should look like. It is photorealistic Lego you've got to be creative with. And this game has been around for a little while. It was released originally as an Apple Arcade game on, I think, just Apple iOS and Mac. And it's now been ported over to, I think it might be PlayStation and Switch off the top of my head. Steam and Switch is coming too. And it's just, oh... It's simple and gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. I've seen a couple of playthroughs on Tinterwebs, and it seems to take about an hour to complete, so it's not a huge game. And from what I can see, it's $19.99, so I'm guessing it's going to be around about that kind of price in pounds as well. But I'm so taken with this, just purely on its aesthetic and the fact it's won so many awards. It's won awards for visuals, it's won awards for audios, it won Mobile Game of the Year back in 2020. It is right up there. It is one of these rare announcements I genuinely get quite excited about.
Yeah.
I'm so glad, Al, because it does look fairly gorgeous. It kind of reminds me of a more laid-back Captain Toad. Just really gorgeous, simple. I think if you were to sit down and play this game on a oneer, you would regret it. But I think it's a nice dip in and out title. This could be quite fun, Mike.
Yeah, I think so, but it does certainly looks the part. I think they've done a really good job at recreating that real life feel, as Al said, that photorealistic vibe to it. So yeah, I'm pretty interested in this one. And as you say, I think you can never have enough kind of games that you can dip in and out of. I think sometimes the focus in gaming is often on, I got to complete it, I got to get through it. Whereas this feels like something you could happily play and put down and, you know, finish after maybe having an intense gaming session. If you've got the time, this could be the nice little antidote to it. So yeah, it certainly looks good, and it's coming out soon, so the 22nd of June, so we don't have to wait long either, which is equally nice. Next up, something a little bit different is Crytek and Saber Interactive. They've announced the Crysis Remastered Trilogy for the Switch, available all together or individually. It'll be coming out in autumn. And it was really funny because I saw that Crysis is on sale right now and I considered it, but I also know that 2 is generally the better one above the first one. So I was like, oh, I just wish they had 2. And this was literally the day before they announced the trilogy was coming. And I think this is fantastic. I love it when they do these kind of packs, and it's a game that it's the kind of the system killer, isn't it? So the Switch, the lowly Switch, is going to have all 3 Crysis games on it, Anton.
Yeah, this is really exciting, and I'm so glad that they've paired these all up as a collection, where I think the original Crisis had some room to be remastered, but the second and third title, to be honest, they could just drag and drop over onto the Switch because they're fantastic looking games to begin with. But I'm really excited that we're getting this full collection because, as you say, Mike, it's really from the second game onwards that the franchise really got into its kind of gameplay. You know, it really clicked. You know, the first one was this technical showcase, and then the second one really, you know, pulled it all together and made it a really unique franchise. So I'm really keen because I've dabbled in all of these games whenever they were the benchmark title for your PC, and it's like, oh, I'm running Crisis and you've got a couple frames per second, and that's basically my experience throughout the franchise. So to be able to play these games well, gorgeously, on the go, and hopefully for a fair price if they're bundling them up in a trilogy, it's very exciting, Al.
Yeah, and you can also buy 2 and 3 individually. So although they're doing the trilogy, for those people who've already gone out and bought Crisis, you don't need to buy it again. You can buy 2 and 3 separately, which is quite nice. I just love the fact, I mean, Saber Interactive are geniuses. There is no other word for it. To be able to port Crisis and now Crisis 2 and 3 over to run on the Switch is just mind-boggling. Although, But the thing in the back of my head is going, Switch Pro, Switch Pro, Switch Pro. This is going to be awesome. It's going to have extra stuff that they've not announced yet. Switch Pro, I'm pretty sure that's going to be featuring somewhere in the Switch Pro announcement, right?
Well, of course, what we're hoping with all the Switch Pro, and this is where, we don't want to start talking about the Switch Pro just yet, but I'm sure it's inevitable right now that that's going to be the case because, of course, you know, we have something coming up which we're going to talk about, which may lead us there. But it's got to be the case. This is how they've got to do it. They've got to do it so that they can upscale any game that you have on your Switch. If you play it on the Switch Pro, it can upscale it. It can make it look better. It can make it, you know, you can run it at 1080. That is the absolute key for the Switch Pro. If the Switch Pro can't do that with the existing library, all hell's going to break loose, Anton.
Yeah, it's all about making that your existing titles look better. Probably DLS, make it 4K. And, you know, I imagine there'll be a couple games, kind of like they did with the PS4 Pro and the Xbox One X, that'll be, like, optimized for the new ones, but you're going to be buying it to make your, you know, your Breath of the Wilds look better than it ever did before.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. But you're right, Al. I mean, this would be the perfect game for this because it already looks stunning. It looks great on the Switch as it is, or Crisis does. So the trilogy, perfect. Great. Bring it on. Next up, could Mike be interested in a massively multiplayer role-playing game? Because I actually quite like this. Gamigo probably have announced Trove for the Nintendo Switch. It's a free-to-play MMO. It's coming out in the summer. And yeah, it's like a Lego kind of MMO, Al. Blocky. Minecrafty.
It's Minecraft. It's Minecraft through and through. And it's already been out for a while on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC, I think, for that matter. But it just means we're getting more free-to-play MMOs with many, many varying game styles. It seems like a pretty cool game with sort of several million, I think it's read somewhere it was 28 million gamers already playing this online on other platforms. So adding it to the Switch roster makes a lot of sense. I'm not jumping up and down because I don't really like the Minecraft style, but I believe I'm probably in the minority of gamers here. Anton, this seems right up your street.
Well, somewhat. I do like my Minecraft, but that's in a gameplay sense. This kind of reminds me a little bit if they took Roblox and then rebuilt it today. Obviously, that's a kind of similar, just massively open game, kind of pixel, kind of blocky cell that, you know, it's shown its age there, so I like this as kind of a modern version of it, but I do love it when we get a new MMO cell title on the Switch. All of them are like, we've got the population of Earth playing this game. We have all of the gamers, and then the next game's like, we have all of the gamers too. But, you know, free to play, nothing to lose, might give it a wee whirl, and who knows, this might just destroy my life. We don't know yet.
Yeah, no, I do like the look of it. I've got to say, it's got something about it, and as far as an MMO goes, which I've never really delved into one properly, if I'm going to, that could be the one. Next up, Minecraft Caves and Cliffs Part 1 update is going to arrive in a couple of days' time. Anton, will you be jumping in to, or jumping off the cliffs and caves in Minecraft?
Yeah, this is all very exciting. If you've never played Minecraft before, or if you haven't played it in a while, the Caves and Cliffs update that has been split across right now and part two during the holiday period. Looks to be the largest update they've really ever done to Minecraft. They're, you know, they're redoing the mining and the caves, which is one half of Minecraft. So very exciting for this to launch. And, you know, we're getting it in two parts, which is a little bit of a shame because, to be honest, part two looks to be the real exciting one. But, you know, I've not put enough time into this game, apparently. So they're luring me back in. How can they do this?
It's amazing the way they managed to keep this franchise going and going and going. And they carry on, will carry on doing so probably for the next decade. It's, why not?
It's amazing. I remember buying the original version of Minecraft when it was in beta for £14. One-time purchase. And that's all I paid for it. And they still have me playing it.
Yeah.
Doesn't make great business sense, but you're Microsoft, so go wild.
Yeah, they can survive it, I think. Next up, Nintendo have announced Yuji Ogura Factory is getting converted into a Nintendo gallery to showcase the company's development history and philosophy. That's kind of nice, Al.
It is. I love the fact they called it a gallery. I mean, I was reading the actual Nintendo press release, which has been translated from the Japanese, and that's what it translates as. But really, I think the word it's looking for is, it's a museum. It's basically, they're building a Nintendo museum on one of their old factories that used to produce playing cards, actually, which is kind of cool. And they're going to, showcase all Nintendo's history, all the build-up, all the hardware, presumably some of the software as well, though they don't actually say that. And it's basically just a little homage, a shrine to Nintendo, created by Nintendo, and... why not? I like it.
Yeah, I'm just really hoping that Nintendo is confident to, you know, really lift the veil and just show, you know, some consoles that we maybe never saw. Like, I know there was a Game Boy Advance console that was 32-bit and super powerful that got cancelled, and then they started the Game Boy Advance from scratch in like 99 or something. So it's amazing to be able to see those rare, wonderful consoles that we never got to see. You know, Wii U prototypes that were apparently just, you know, two nunchucks slapped to a tablet. We'd love to see that. So I really hope that they do just show us a lot of the development process, even the kind of ugly stuff that is really work in process and rough.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay, a bit of movie news, and I kind of loved this story this week. This kind of was great. Forget the Sonic movie. The Super Mario Bros. Movie has had a fan-made extended cut, the Morton Jankel cut. It includes 20 minutes of lost footage. Have either of you indulged yet?
Sadly not. I haven't seen the original movie. I've seen clips from it, and I've opted not to. No particular reason, just didn't seem like my jam. So I think having more of it in the world's maybe a very niche thing, but I love that, you know, fans are going out there and, you know, they're making this stuff happen because, you know, if Nintendo had the choice, they would surely erase this from the records.
They would. I mean, it stopped this movie stopped them from making any animations or any movies about Nintendo for 30 odd years. But actually, the weird thing is I saw this film in the cinema when it was made, and I've seen it again relatively recently, like within the last decade. I decided to rewatch it. And if you go, okay, suspend all knowledge of Mario and just pretend that it's just a random standalone movie, it's actually quite an entertaining movie. It's just a terrible Mario movie. I love the fact that they managed to find this random footage, and it's, you can actually go and watch this movie for free on Tinterwebs. It's been put out there, although I'm not entirely sure how that gets dealt with under copyright issues. I suspect that will not be available for free for long, but at this exact moment in time you can Google it and go and look at it for free. Yes, added in 20 minutes. They've got a little time index at the bottom so you can see exactly which bits have been added in, and I just love the fact that it's been made by basically two fans, Rocky Morton and Annabelle Jankel. Therefore, the Morton Jankel cut of the movie, go and enjoy it, people.
Yeah, I mean, interestingly, it's available on the Internet Archive, which I'm pretty sure is a legitimate way of doing it. I'm pretty sure archive.org is actually it is actually okay, but maybe the process of uploading it might be the issue. But certainly the archive itself is there's loads of great stuff on there. And remember when they put Championship Manager 102 on there for free because they just decided, meh, we'll just put it for free for everyone. You can just go and do it. The company had gone bust. They went, yeah, cool. So we'll check it out. But definitely go and check it out. I think it's worth it. If you've never seen anything about that Mario Bros. Movie, just go and Google some screenshots because it is wonderful and so early 90s.
It's amazing to see the interpretation of characters like Bowser and the Koopas, but in a highly realistic form, going from the very simple pixel art. The suspension of disbelief or the kind of exaggeration of those ideas is somewhat magical.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole premise of the film is just so weird and so removed from Mario. From memory, it was something to do with their wanting to make slime to convert everybody into mushrooms or mushroom things from Koopa, who's like an underground mob boss or something. It was just all very strange.
Fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. Next up, 20 million Nintendo Switches have been sold in Japan now. So we know that Japan, they love the Nintendo Switch. And 20 million, that's quite a lot, Anton.
Indeed, it's amazing that they've sold more Nintendo Switches in Japan alone than they sold Wii U's in the world. You know, it's just kind of bizarre and amazing. Obviously, admittedly, that is spread, I guess, between what they would have sold in 3DSs and Wii U's looking back at the past generation, but still, amazing accomplishment nevertheless.
It really is. I went and looked to see how many PS4s were sold, because obviously there's no point in looking at the Xbox. It basically doesn't exist in Japan. Nobody cares about it. But the PlayStation very much does. PlayStation sold 10 million units, PS4. 10 million units is lifetime. The Switch in it has already sold more than double of what the PS4 ever managed to do. That is staggeringly phenomenal.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible, really. Next up, Devolver Digital Direct. That is going to return on June the 12th. And yeah, there'll be a bit of interest in this one. I think there are ways, hopefully we'll be able to, you know, see what they're up to. But yeah, I think, what kind of stuff, is there anything you expect, Anton, to get out of this particular Devolver Digital Direct?
Yeah, I think the main highlight, obviously, Devolver do like doing their indie games on the Nintendo Switch, but I think the main highlight for myself would be hopefully seeing more of Fall Guys as it makes its way over to Nintendo Switch and other platforms. I believe it's finally coming over to the Xbox as well. But to be honest, we could really see anything. It'll be a lot of, you know, one-off franchises. Very unlikely that we get many sequels, if any, but to be honest, it'll probably just be a cinematic romp of blood and gore as usual.
With a huge dose of comedy and inappropriateness, if their past form is in to go by. I love when Devolver do these things, and they usually produce just a raft, like a swathe of games. You go, how do you guys have time to pull all these games together? How? So yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing what comes out of this. They are definitely worth watching.
Yeah, absolutely. Next up, a new Nintendo survey has asked fans if they would pay $49.99 or £34 for a new WarioWare game. I did spot this and I wondered, because I would like a WarioWare game on the Switch, if I'm honest. I don't know, £34? It depends on replayability for me. I think I would say yes if it's got co-op, online co-op, and plenty of mini-games kind of included, then yes, I would consider it. Anton, what about you?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, this is about fair. It kind of, you know, it's interesting looking at new franchises coming to the Nintendo Switch, a home console that were traditionally more handheld based. So, you know, you could easily have charged £50 for a new WarioWare game on, let's say, the 3DS, or $44.99, more appropriately. But on the Nintendo Switch, they do need to kind of play it as a budget title. I think £34 is about right. You know, £34 retail, get on sale for £29 most places. Kind of in the same way of £27.51 Worldwide Classics. Makes sense. So, yeah, I would love to see this.
Yeah, I'm kind of in agreement. I think £35 seems, or £34 seems fair. Oh, weirdly, pretty sure £34 doesn't translate to $50. I think we're getting a bit of a bargain at that price. I think, I might be wrong. It's been a while since we've done a dollar-pound conversion for any particular reason, but that feels cheap. But I'm very happy about that. I mean, WarioWare games, they're good fun. Sure. Yeah, I think we'd pay that.
Yeah, but I think it's the replayability you can get from it, and that's why I'm saying, as long as the content is there, then yeah, I think that's fairly reasonable. Next up, Bloodstained Ritual of the Night has a sequel officially announced. It's a game that's been plenty sort of reviewed well, although the Switch port, I think, had its issues. But the sequel, Anton, that's, again, good news. I'm just hoping that they get this port right.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting seeing them do this the second / fourth time round. Obviously, they've had those two 8-bit spin-offs. This one won't be going via the Kickstarter route. It looks like they have proper publishers and teams behind it, so I'm hoping that'll help set a more appropriate scale for this game. I think one of the issues the original title ran into is the same one that, you know, Tales like Mighty Number 9 ran into, where, you know, they added so many reward tiers that when it came time to implement and make the game, the scope was so wide and the budget they'd been given for it was so high that the expectations and the scale of the game were kind of disproportionate. So I'm hoping now that, you know, they have the experience, you know, this isn't, you know, a team making their first game, although the creator's done plenty of other stuff. This is a team that has a couple games under their belt. They understand the franchise and hopefully they can set their expectations right and really deliver a far more polished product than they did the first time around. All overall, that title did come out quite well, except of a couple performance and some ugly graphics here and there.
Am I right in saying they've not actually announced this one for the Switch yet? They've announced it as a game, but not said what platforms it's on?
Indeed, yes. I believe the two Curse of the Moon ones have been Switch exclusive, so looking at this one, as well as Ritual of the Night being on the Switch, most likely would get on the Switch as well.
Yeah. You'd be placing your bets on it, wouldn't you?
You would think so. Next up, I'm assuming neither of you bought this, but I did spot this and think, wow, well, what is the world? Because some people just have too much money. There's an Among Us-shaped McDonald's chicken nugget that is just sold for just shy of $100,000. Neither of you bought it, I'm assuming?
Funnily enough, no. It wasn't me. No, I'm not going to pay nearly $100,000 for a wonky-shaped chicken nugget in a plastic bag, which is literally what this is.
Oh, weird.
It's insane.
Why?
You know, I was on board until they mentioned that they didn't have any dip to go with it, which, you know,
can you imagine?
They need to include everything.
Can you imagine if someone just went, oh, fine, I just want to eat it.
Literally, it's a chicken nugget with two legs that makes it look like sort of an imposter or crewmate from the show. It's just the show, the game. It is just the weirdest thing. I don't understand who bought this or why. The whole story makes no sense to me.
No, I don't get it. I really don't get it. We also have some Balan Wonderworld news. After the failure of Balan Wonderworld, Yuji Naka has left Square Enix, saying, "While I cannot share the reason right now, I hope to be able to discuss it when the time comes." It's a bit ominous. "As for what I'll do in the future, I'm already 55 years old, so I may as well retire." And again, that's a little bit sad. I mean, this whole story is a little bit sad because you know, you've got to feel sorry for the team behind Balan Wonderworld to an extent because they just got it so wrong. There is also the thing as well, you know, culturally in Japan, it is very, very different there in terms of, you know, shame is a much bigger sort of, you know, there will be a sense of shame that the game didn't do what it set out to do. So I suspect it's maybe translates slightly differently to us, but just overall a very sad tale, Anton.
Yeah, it's just the way it's like, I'm already 55 years old, may as well retire. There's like quite a sadness to the way that's kind of been put. Obviously, who knows how it translates exactly tonally. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. Obviously, there's an entire Balan team put together still. You know, that is a company. So it's going to be interesting to see if that gets renamed and moved or if they're going to try and salvage what they've done with this title already. That, you know, kind of in the same way that the kind of Playtonic kind of salvaged Yooka-Laylee. But really a sad, somber thing because, you know, I know it was when they were leading up to development of this title, Yuji Naka was always like, yeah, this is my one chance to make a 3D platformer. I don't think I'm good at making RPGs. And it just never worked out. So it's going to be curious to see where their career takes them, if it goes anywhere else or if they are just going to literally retire.
It's kind of almost bordering on tragic to see such a character be lost from the gaming industry over such... I mean, it's a monumental failure, but everybody has failures. And it's just a shame it's come at this stage in their career that they're now going, you know what, it's been messed up so badly, I'm just going to retire. This has worn me down. I can only imagine what's going through their heads at the moment. They must be so gutted and so upset that they just want to retreat from the world. Obviously, there's a culture aspect of it as well, but there must be a load of personal shame and upset and probably a bit of depression going on, I guess. And I really hope someone from some studio approaches them and goes, you know what, come do something with us. You've got a lot of talent, you're a big name, come do something with us. That'd be lovely.
I'm pretty sure they will, to be honest, because as you said, it's such a sad story that's come to that. But yeah, you know, things change quickly, especially in the video game world. Okay, let's talk about some rumours.
No, I'm not normally one for gossip, but...
Now, before we get started on the two rumours here, I want to also talk about the Direct, because we haven't actually talked about that. So the Nintendo Direct has been announced for June 15th, and it's, of course, the E3 Direct. It's going to be followed by 3 hours of gameplay in the Nintendo Treehouse Live show. Now, obviously, a huge announcement, and we're going to... I think we should do some predictions, because we... we've done this before. I think we should predict what we're going to see. And all right, well, let's start with Anton. What's your prediction, Anton? What are we going to see at E3?
I think we're not going to see Splatoon 3, but I think we could see a little bit of the new Breath of the Wild. I think even just the littlest bit of a teaser, even if it was something cinematic, that would be nice. I think following the kind of recent survey, I think WarioWare is a given. It will just, I think this survey was more so to ask the prices people would be willing to pay, not whether or not they want one. I think that's already a go. And there'll be some form of Square Enix game that will be talked about for way too long, and everybody will be like, we get it. You've got a partnership to show Square Enix games, and then if we're lucky, maybe one Atlus game that's not Persona 5.
Okay, Al, thoughts?
I think, despite the fact they said we're only going to do software, we're not talking hardware, I think this will be the announcement of the Switch Pro, personally. And I think along with that, we're going to see more Breath of the Wild, absolutely. I would love to see something random, like, oh, by the way, here's F-Zero. I think that would be really cool. Again, I'm not going to hold my breath on that, but that would make me happy if we got Switch Pro and F-Zero. And I guess, I don't know, we'll see what else comes out of it. A new Star Fox would be quite nice, but I've got no reason to believe we're going to get something like that. What did I predict last time? It was Mario Golf. So what other random Mario franchise have we had in the past that can drag out? I don't know. Has there been a Mario Curling game? Let's go with Mario Curling.
Okay. I don't think they'll talk about the Switch Pro in this. I think they've said that deliberately. I think there'll be a separate announcement and we'll have a separate event for that. Whether that now is going to happen after this, I suspect it might do, despite all the hype of the last couple of weeks. So I don't think they'll go down the Switch Pro route for this one. I think they will give us the title of Breath of the Wild 2. I think they'll give us an official title. And I actually think we might get more gameplay footage than you expect, Anton. I think it'll be more than cinematic, and I think that might tie into the 3 hours at the end there where they do some gameplay. So that's my thoughts on Breath of the Wild. Bayonetta 3, Metroid Prime 4, maybe. We might get a little more on those. We might get a little kind of, you know, that might be where the cinematic teasers come in. You know, we might get a bit more cinematic on those for me.
I feel we should see something in Metroid Prime 4. We have been talking about that game literally since, I think, our very first episode. I know it's been in development hell, in, out, up, down, left, right. It's been started again, scrapped, rejigged, remastered, rebooted. It's been through all of them. It's about time we saw something.
Yeah, I do think we'll get that. I think we'll also see someone like Banjo in Smash. I think that'll happen. You know, some sort of extra Smash character.
I'm so fed up with Smash announcements at these things.
But there'll be one. There'll be one. I echo the Square Enix prediction as well. I actually think we might see a curveball, a Microsoft curveball, something like Rare Replay or something. I think we might get something along those lines. And we might even, I do wonder if we'll have another big port, a Fallout or a Mass Effect trilogy. I know that's me keeping my fingers crossed. Mafia trilogy. Fingers crossed. Persona 5, fingers crossed, that's not happening. But the first two might, and or Dragon Age or something. I think we're going to see something big. And I also wonder, is there going to be like an old game that's redone, like Star Fox or a Diddy Kong Racing or something along those lines? Or Mario Strikers. There's another curveball for you.
That'd be good. Yeah, that'd be nice, actually, if we've got Mario Strikers.
Yeah, I have a feeling we're going to see a couple of surprises. I think we'll see some of the obvious ones. So I think we're going to see more on the follow-up to Two Point Hospital. There'll be some extra games in there that maybe aren't, you know, in the kind of montage or whatever. We might see that. We might see a bit more on, what was the other one that's coming soon? Oh, I've just gone out of my head completely. But there's several games which I think are coming that we'll see more on. I don't think we'll see much in the way of Splatoon at this one particularly. Maybe Baldo, because that's surely now ready to go. So I think there's a few there. I think it's going to be very good, but I just don't feel the Switch Pro in this. I really don't. I think they've made a point of saying,
I'm just keeping my fingers crossed, because they always, Nintendo will say, oh yeah, there's nothing to see here, nothing to see here, and then they announce stuff, or they say, we're not going to talk about this, and then they do. So I'm just keeping my fingers crossed. But on a side note, do you know how hard it was for me to resist when you said in the montage, not go, we need a montage? If anyone has seen Team America, you will know what I'm talking about.
I have seen Team America and forgot about that bit completely, but yes.
I think my big prediction would be for the wild card announcement would be the new 3D Donkey Kong game. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, 3-4 years into development. It's been a good 3 or 4 years, maybe not 4 years, 3 years since we've had the last Donkey Kong, which was a port of a Donkey Kong game from another 6 years ago. That would be fun. And then if we had a wild card port, Call of Duty Warzone coming to Switch.
Okay.
As a competitor to Apex, big multiplayer, basically that's what Activision's pouring their money into, and it would be a nice shiny shooter for us.
Wii Sports remade.
Ah, oh, love it.
Thing is, this is the problem now. You get into fantasy land and start just reeling off games that you think, oh, that would be good. And, you know, obviously we're not going to know until, what is it, a week and a, well, 9 days. So not that long to go. But we'll be talking about this in 2 weeks' time. Very excited. I'm sure we'll end up doing an episode around that as well, since they actually gave us some warning this time, which is lovely. Next rumor, data mining of Near Replicant version 1.22474487139. Sorry, I didn't malfunction. That is the version. Has discovered a reference to the NX, suggesting a Switch port was in development at some point. So Near or Nearer. I think I have actually played a bit of it, but this was not a game that's come to the Switch, but it's been hinted that there were plans, Anton.
Yeah, so this would suggest that it was in development a long, long time ago. The Nier franchise is kind of one that was a little bit of a flop on its kind of original release, had a little bit more success with its sophomore release, and then, you know, the port has done well. It would be really nice to get it on the Switch, and Square Enix has been a very lovely supporter of the Switch, but I think the fact that at the time of this work and of the codes, being during the NX period, it was maybe not pursued very far, because I think from the my understanding of the data mine is in kind of parts of the code that would have been done later in the game's development, there's no reference to a Switch or an NX. So would be lovely, but I sadly don't think we're going to be getting anything soon, Alistair.
Yeah, I'm not holding my breath, but I mean, it's not a franchise that I've really followed in any great detail. I just think it's got one of the snappiest names of any game in history ever.
Yeah, and I'm sure it'll be big news for you, whether you're near, far, or wherever you are. Next up, Microsoft. Carry on.
I've just had a sudden thought. Do you think we're going to get Nintendo Online, a new console, added at this Direct?
I think we are due a...
We are long overdue.
...huge revamp of what's happening online, but I think... I still think this is all part of another announcement that's coming for the Switch Pro, and I think it'll all be within that personally. But I would love to see it. I mean, I'd love to be proved wrong with the Switch Pro and that, to be honest. But
And they'll wait until we've given up all hope before they add the one feature.
Achievement points. Go on, do it. You know you want to. Next up, Microsoft have leaked... or it's been leaked, two-point campus screenshots and all, so we know it's happening. It's most likely going to come to the Switch after the success of Two-Point Hospital. I was actually talking about this today, actually. Somebody was asking for a recommendation game that liked Theme Hospital, and I said, well, I've got the game for you. But Two-Point Campus looks great. I actually really like the look of this one. We talked about it briefly last week, I think, but Anton, I'm assuming you're in the same camp. Or yeah, the same house, if it's a university.
Same campus.
Or the same campus.
Yeah, the same dorm.
Very good.
Totally on board. I think the Two-Point Hospital games kind of had to balance the, you know, actual medical stuff and keeping it lighthearted, where I think setting at a campus setting, they can maybe go a little bit more wild. I know some of the DLC for Two-Point Hospital became a lot more expansive and, you know, used space a lot more effectively and allowed you to move around a lot more. So I'm excited to see what they can do in a campus setting. It seems like they've learned a lot from the DLCs, and I'm, you know, just very excited to see how far they can push it, because obviously Two-Point Hospital was, you know, built on the foundation of the Theme Hospital games, whereas this is kind of going in new ground. There's not a one-to-one comparison here. It's entirely fresh in that way.
Yeah, I mean, take a tried and tested model, expand. I mean, that's basically what they did with the Tycoon franchise. It started off with the Roller Coaster Tycoon, and then it went to just about every other thing you could possibly tycoonize, and it worked. And why will this not work? Of course it will work. It's awesome. I'm very excited.
Definitely work. It's very cool. And they look gorgeous as well, the screenshots, I got to say. It looks just so good. So good. Okay, well, there we go. We are flying today because obviously less news, but plenty to talk about still. And now it's time for this week's quiz.
I have so many questions.
It is indeed. So just to get anybody caught up to speed who wasn't on last week, we've had points going up and down all over the place. When last time we played this game, Anton was on 11. I think Mike was on
10.
10. Leona very briefly was on 1,000 points. Nobody heard that because it was during a show that didn't get recorded, but Leona got up to 1,000 points. Then last week, Mike managed to beat her, just managed to beat her. He got his 1 point and Leona was dropped down 990 points to now be in third place on 10 points. So Anton, 11. Mike, 11. Leona, 10. She's basically nipping at both of your heels again.
I love that I was allowed a point, even though I was against Leona, to catch up with Anton. That is the most generous thing ever. However, Leona beat me 3-0 last time, so to win I was very, very happy with, and I got one. I think it was GTA Chinatown Wars I got, and I was very, very happy about that. So, by the way, can I just say before we move on, did either of you hear the Easter egg I left in last week's episode?
The Anton. I'm just going to say yes. I listened to the episode and I totally found that Easter egg.
The Anton Easter egg.
Yes, I listened the entirety of the way through. Moment it went live.
So Steve,
I basically can't get enough of my own voice, which is why I listen to it every week.
Steve, one of our Patreon supporters, did figure it out and did a double take and went, huh? Because I added your au revoir at the end of the episode, Anton, even though you weren't in the whole episode. So it just made it sound like you were there for the whole episode and just said au revoir, nothing else.
You know, we should do that. I'll just like sit back and, you know, just judge from afar.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I used to being judged in many, many other realms of my life. So I am ready for this. I'm ready to have another go because...
Well, I will start judging you both and see who wins. Excellent. All right, well, let's jump straight in with our first game of this week. Now, I want you to be specific with the title here. A part of the title will not be enough.
Batman exclamation mark. Let's do this.
I love the end joke. Okay, 1995 platformer. Go.
Super Mario World 2 Yoshi's Story.
Is incorrect. Want to take a random stab?
No, I'll move on.
All right. It was developed and produced by Nintendo.
Banjo and Kazooie Tools in Town. I know it's not, and it's not a game, so I'm just throwing it out.
Donkey Kong Country.
It is not, but the protagonist does have all the usual tropes. They can jump, they can shoulder charge, they can equip special hats to gain fire breath and bull horns.
Oh. I didn't have a Nintendo in 1985.
Mario Land 2 Wario Land. Super Mario Land 3 Wario Land.
Is incorrect. However, this next clue is not going to help you in the slightest, but I just want to put it in here because I think it's cool. The music and the sound effects were composed by Kazumi Takata and includes a song called Takata's Song, which he hides in most of the video games he's composed for.
That's so cool. That's quite cool. Super Mario Land Bowser's Fury.
Incorrect, fully enough. Anton, you want to take a random stab?
Not a clue.
Wario Land 2.
Incorrect. Regarded as the best game on the platform, but criticised for being short.
It's on top of my tongue.
I'll give you both a clue. Anton has got close a couple of times with his answers.
All right, it's not what I think it is then.
For Mario Land 2 and the 6 golden coins?
You are incorrect.
Is it... it's not what I thought it was at all then. I don't know. Not a clue. I didn't have a SNES, so I really don't know. If it was a SNES exclusive, then I've not a clue.
I never said anything about a SNES. I've not told you what console it's on yet.
95. Could have been an N64.
Originally, it had a different name. It was something Cruise before it was being renamed to, well, something else.
Mario Kart 64.
No.
It's not a platformer.
USA. Nope. It included a mechanic to jump into the background, which was later copied by Donkey Kong Country Returns and Mutant Muds.
Flipping heck.
Virtual Wario Land?
No.
Oh my god, you're so painfully close, Anton, but I did see you had to be specific, so it's not the right answer, but you've got the right game.
Virtual Wario Land 64.
Incorrect. All right, the last clue, so Anton doesn't get a chance to redeem himself.
I would never have got this if
it has a black and white colour scheme. Sorry, black and red colour scheme. Can Anton flesh out and get the correct answer?
Mario Land Virtua Boy.
Wario Land.
Virtua Boy, I meant to say, sorry.
Virtua Boy Wario Land.
Correct! Anton gets the point.
I thank you.
I mean, that wasn't...
Well done.
That was... Oh.
Virtua Boy Wario Land is the name, and I told you you had to be very specific and get it right.
No wonder no one had a blooming clue what you're talking about. It was for the Virtua Boy. No one cared about that.
Hey, we did a whole prequel on this very recently.
Yes, I know. I'm just angry. Carry on.
All right, first blood to Anton. It is 1-0. Let's see if Mike can pull this back. This one is a 1994 Sega Genesis, or Mega Drive if you're in our country, platformer, and it was also on the SNES.
Roller to the Rescue.
Oh.
Airform Gym.
Oh my god, out of the gate, Anton. How did you...
Come on.
Did you do that?
There's not many platformers that went across both. Great game. I've got the third game's coming out soon, but only for the Intellivision Amico.
Annoyingly, Earthworm Jim was what I was trying to think of in the last round.
I can't believe you literally guessed that as your first guess. That is both amazing and irritating at the same time, because it means the quiz is ridiculously short.
Fine. Well done, Anton.
Well, we have a winner, but let's just do the last, the closest to the pin, just to see if Mike can, you know, get a point and make himself feel better. It's a slightly tricky one this game. You might get it bang on, you might not have a clue. I'm going to make Mike go first.
Okay.
What year did Super Mario 64 DS come out?
Okay. I think that was 2007.
Anton?
2006.
It's a clean sweep for Anton. It was 2004.
Yeah.
2004? Was it?
2004 that came out.
I don't remember that being a launch title at all. I mean, I know it was a thing, and I know it was a... But then, of course, New Super Mario Bros. Was the next one, and then it all changed.
I mean, strictly speaking, if you're only slightly pedantic, in the EU it was 2005, but in North America and Japan it was 2004.
Wow. Okay. Well.
Either way, Anton still wins the point. That was impressive. It's not often that either of you get a clean sweep on the other one. It's happened once or twice, but Anton was on it this
week.
Congratulations.
Actually, thoroughly depressed now. I'm such a bad loser. I can't take it. Like, I need to go and lie down or run around the park. One of the two to get the stress levels up. Well done, Anton.
Why, thank you. Too kind.
Excellent. That says 12-11, but it just means if Mike wins next week, he's still shooting straight past you.
Thing is, I was probably due that, because it hasn't happened in a little while and I've been getting cocky, so I probably...
You have been on a bit
it.
Of a roll, actually, recently, Mike.
Yeah, not that one, though.
Went from like 6 points to 10 points like in a couple weeks.
Yeah, but that's only two wins, because I get 2 points a win, so it's better than it is. But I'll take it. It's fine. Thank you for the compliment. That is it. Remember as well, if you want us to support us more, there's loads of extra content that we regularly do. We just put out an episode of one of our extra podcasts called Roundup for our Patreons, which just launched. It was launched at them this morning in a friendly manner. And also Last Call, which was recorded on Friday evening this week. And this week coming, we've got the prequel. We've also got an expansion chat, which is our monthly get together with everybody that we do. So if you want to come and join the fun, then nsukp.co.uk/support-us is the place to go. Anything you want to add, Alistair?
Yes, you can drop us an email, podcast@nsukp.co.uk. We also accept telegrams, and as of very recently, I've suddenly decided we also accept Morse code. So if you want to message us in Morse code, feel free, do so.
Perfect. Anton?
And yes, if you want to check out the wonderful review that Mike's doing very shortly, and we've recently had a review from Alistair, and of course we've got a review from James a couple months back, do check out our YouTube. It's just the Nintendo Switch UK podcast. We also have a bunch of clips and highlights from some of our other podcasts that we've done in the past. There's some good ones in there, and also an interview from Jen from Colors Live, which was fabulous.
Yeah, and it's getting a physical edition very soon as well, which just announced last week, so it's relevant again, so definitely go and check that out. That is it from us. Thank you very much for all your support. We'll see you soon. Goodbye.
Cheerio.
Au revoir.